The tape you are about to hear is incomplete. Every attempt has been made to locate the missing portion of this message. However, to date, this is as complete a recording as we have been able to locate. We shall continue to search for a complete recording, and any assistance you can give us would be appreciated. We trust the portion of the message you are about to hear will be a blessing to you.
Good evening, friends. It's a privilege to be here tonight to greet you again in this lovely big city here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And to be back again tonight and hear my brother Baxter as he was speaking when it was coming up. Oh my, it seems like old times again to be back. It seems like coming back home. I don't feel tonight that I'm with strangers. I'm with fellow citizens and pilgrims of the kingdom of God, professing that we're pilgrims and strangers of this land, believing we have a better home going to us someday, as one by one we cross over the great divide that separates the mortals from the immortals. And as Paul says, I believe in the scriptures, that leaving those things behind, I press to the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. All these mortal things we just leave behind and press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Friends, we're here, if the Lord willing, for the next, I believe it's about 8 or 10 nights to be here before going overseas. We usually make this our jumping off place. Brother Baxter and I did this now. This is the third time, I believe. And we're always glad to be in New York. Of course, you realize that this is just the outskirts of Jeffersonville, Indiana. It just runs up this far. You see, my city has 24,000 people in it now. You see, we've jumped up a whole lot from 14,000. So you'll be able to find us on the map down there one of these days. It keeps on growing. But I was talking to the man that brought me up just now from my room. He said, I believe there's about 7 million here. You know, that's almost the population of Canada. The entire, all the province of Canada. Many people here. Where the people gather together, they have a lot of sin. They have it everywhere. Not only in New York, they have it in little bitty cities like Jeffersonville, Indiana. They have it everywhere. This old world is just getting ripe for judgment now. When we see things taking place like this at this time, all these different kinds of bombs and things, I was hearing on the radio the other day that where they could drop a B-4 across the country here, or out in the sea, destroy the whole world. Just drop 2 or 3 of them down out here in the Atlantic, and the first thing you know, there wouldn't be even a beetle alive in the whole United States. Kill everything. All the buildings would be standing just like they are now. I tell you, no wonder Jesus said, except the word be cut short for the elect's sake, there would be no flesh saved. I believe we're near something. I'm not one of the people that tries to predict that Jesus is going to come this year, next year. I don't know when he's going to come, and no one else doesn't know when he's going to come. We just know what he said to look for. When we see these signs appearing, then to lift up our head, redemption is drawing nigh. And we see those things now. And Brother Baxter and I have made this a policy of trying to do our very best for everybody that we can, as long as we have a life to walk in as we do today. We ought to be very thankful for a place where the gospel can be preached. There's a many big cities in this world, you know, like New York, or not quite this big, but many great major cities that you could open up a meeting like this. No, sir. They couldn't do it. And perhaps, we don't want to think this way, but perhaps soon it'll be that you won't be able to open up New York. Communism is honeycombing the world. Well, a great percent, over half of it, almost 2/3 of the world, is already into communism. What are we Christians doing? Here's the space we've got to go from here to here, and we've come about this far. Jesus said the gospel must be preached in all the world. But you know, our ideas of it, we've had tract societies, which is all right. We love that. And the man that's on the street passing out a tract is doing a wonderful work for the Lord Jesus. We have missionaries all parts of the country That's a wonderful thing, a God calling. But what I think the Lord sort of makes his message so quick to the world is this, that he's going to send out the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit that will just illuminate the whole world just in a few days' time. I believe he's calling the church, pulling the people, getting them together for this great event that's coming to pass. I'm looking for the gospel one day to lead the Gentile people and return to the Jew. I've seen a picture the other night of a very dear friend of mine on the West Coast, a Christian businessman, Mr. Arden Bright. And he had a picture called 3 Minutes Till Midnight. I've never been the same since then, after seeing this wonderful picture. It showed the answer of all the prophecies pertaining to the Jews, how they'd return back, and how they'd be an ensign at their return, the six-point star of David over Jerusalem. How it's a water that comes from the country that blossoms as a rose, the desert wood, and the Jews returning back. We just saw a picture, threw it on the screen, but here was the alarming part, Christians. The ships was coming in, the airplanes coming in. They were bringing the old, blind, and halt, and withered, packed them, the younger people packed them. So they interviewed a few of them. They said, are you coming back to the homeland, to die in the homeland? No, we're coming back to see the Messiah. Oh, you Bible readers know what that means. God's just driving them from all parts of the world right back is what he said he would do. Now what they need, and now the next thing that I can see, and I don't claim to know much about prophecy of that type, but the only thing that I can see left is a spiritual awakening among the Jews. The Gentiles are finished. The church is be caught up. The gospel goes to the Jew. Now, I want to open just a few moments tonight, just a little introduction, and it's kind of an introduction night to we get ready, and Brother Baxter does the preaching, and I'm sure you all enjoy, and he is able to do the job real well. Usually I come in and talk just a few moments to kind of get the feel of the meeting, and then we pray for the sick. Now tonight, for just a little scripture reading, in St. John, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse, we read this, and then for our regular campaign theme is Hebrews 13:8. That's our continued text since we've been on the field. But this year we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And Hebrews 13:8 reads this. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now shall we bow our heads just a moment. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have of coming into this great city again to minister to thy needy children. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will anoint every person that comes into this building with the Holy Spirit. If they are sick, may they be healed. If they have backslidden, may they return to God. If they are unbelievers, may they become believers. Grant it, Father, and may great signs and wonders be done. Let's all have a part in it. Let's have Brother Baxter as he speaks day by day and night by night. May he be anointed with the Holy Ghost to preach the word in the season. We pray that you'll bless all the cooperating ministers, Sister Brown and all the others. Bless the custodians and those who are here helping us, keeping the lights on, the engineers, and all the people who come in. Grant it, Father, and may the message of the Holy Spirit go out into strange homes as may they never come to church before, and may they be warned and come to church, not because that we are here, Father, but because that your Spirit is here and wanting to save the lost and the needy and heal the sick. Now, hide your servant, Lord, the unworthy one. Help me to know what to do and what to say, submitting myself to you just now that you will use your unprofitable servant for your glory. We ask it in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Just for a few moments now, then we'll start praying for the sick. We won't keep you long each night because we had quite a long campaign. And then we just left Chicago. We're at a great campaign and then went from there to the West Coast with a Christian businessman on the West Coast where we had a wonderful, great campaign. Brother Baxter's been preaching also in conventions, and we're both real tired. Frankly, just before I come to the meeting, well, I was trying to study and went sound asleep. Now, that's famous for me to do that. And then hurried right on over to the meeting. And we're both real tired. Now, I want to speak of one person, the complete campaign. That's the one that we're all in love with, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know no one else to talk about but Him. And when it comes to love and compassion and whatever it might be, I know no greater name than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now tonight, I would just like to ask this congregation, and facing this 2 weeks of campaign, we ought to kind of take notice of what Jesus said here. There have been many people and their different types of ministry and theology try to have a certain routine that they teach, which is very fine. Every church, as long as you're teaching something about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That's perfectly all right. I like that. And whatever, let's give every church credit that even names the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give them credit. Now, we might differ with them sometimes, as all churches do, just like all people do, but we're perfectly interdenominational. Brother Baxter and myself doesn't belong to any organization at all. We're interdenominational, believing that the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll give you a little something what Brother and I have tried to do for these past 8 years. It has not been so much on divine healing as people have thought it has been. Many of them said, Brother Branham, your meetings are just based on divine healing. No, brother. It's on divine healing, but not the end of it. It's the healing of the body of Jesus Christ is what we're trying for. To get all different denominations of churches to be brothers. Whatever they believe, that's all right. Let's join ourselves together and be Christian brothers and sisters. That's what our whole heart's desire is to do. And what little influence the Lord has given me, I've tried to use it that way, and go back to the same of His influence as the Bible teacher, and me to pray for the sick. And we believe that. We believe that all men that's born again are brothers.
Amen.
And so that's what we stand for. And now, our theology may be a little bit different from what you would, the regular run of ministry, of praying for the sick. We are talking about, Brother and I, we haven't settled on it yet, when we come back from overseas, or perhaps set up a different type of meeting. Frankly, I've placed in several of the magazines that teaches divine healing, an article, that it's always been that my meeting, I can't get to enough people, and I never stay long enough. The crowd just grow and grow and grow, and then about 4 or 5 nights, now I'm just about done, because it's vision. Coming back, we're going to try to eliminate them things and just go preach the gospel and pray for the sick. Whichever way the Holy Spirit would lead, then we'll do it. But vision is what always cuts us down, has always made our meetings so we couldn't set a long time. But this time, the Lord willing, we want to make it for 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, maybe 2 months or whatever the Lord in one place. Just stay there until the Lord says, I'm finished with you here, go somewhere else. And I want you to pray for us to that end. Now upon our lovely Lord Jesus, where our thoughts are centered, don't never let your thoughts stray from Him. No matter what comes or goes, keep your mind on Him. Now, how many in here tonight would really like to see Him? Would you just love to see Him? I'd like to. Brother, I put my hands up with you. That's my heart's desire, to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love Him. With all my heart, I love Him. If I know anything about my heart, I really love Him. When I speak His name, it just looks to me like I'm unworthy to say the name. I think of what that name has done. You know what happened when that name was first mentioned in a mortal's lips? What happened? A little baby that was dead in its mother's wounds comes alive and received the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist leaped in the mother's wounds for joy as soon as Mary spoke to Elizabeth. I should bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And little John leaps in his mother's wounds for joy. So you see what the name means. If he was here in New York tonight, where do you think you'd find Jesus in New York? I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus, if he comes just in his way, unveiling himself like he did in the early days when he was here on earth in flesh, do you think New York and the world would receive him? No, sir. It'd be worse than it was when he came the first time. That's right. They wouldn't understand it. He'd be so much different from our theology that we wouldn't even doubt whether it would just be a little handful following him like he was in that day. He was so different. He done things different. He talked different. His work was different. His ministry was different. His teaching was different. So they just couldn't understand him. They said, and it's, the thing of it was, they couldn't understand him because his works was great. And he gave God credit. And they finally wound up and said, well, he's just Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. Could you imagine tacking that name on the Lord Jesus Christ? But that's what they did. And they said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call them his disciples? So as Christians, we can expect to be called anything, can't we? But Jesus Christ knows us if we're born again. Now when Jesus in his ministry, now first thing, in the translation of the word tonight, in the St. John, the 14th chapter and 12th verse, he said, verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and more than this, the word really translated right, more, not greater, because he raised the dead, stopped nature, nothing could be any greater than what he did. But more than this shall ye do, for I go to my Father. Do you believe that's the inspired word of God? Do you believe it meant for the ages to follow on like that? It was. Now the same things that he did, he promised the church to do, only more of it than what he did. Let's find out what he did. And if we can find out his type of ministry, what he had here on earth, and these next 10 nights here in the arena, if he will come in our midst and reproduce his life among his people, will every one of you believe on him? Will you promise me that, this little group here of a few hundred sitting here tonight, will you promise me that you'll believe on him with all your heart? If he will reveal himself again right here in this building, visibly, so you can see it yourself, be convinced yourself, would you believe on him? We'll find out what kind of a work he did. How we'd like to see Jesus, many would think, a person in this day, usually you'd see him if they could do works like the Lord did, while they'd come out boastful in the home. But he wasn't that type of person. He didn't boast about anything. He didn't take even any credit for what he did. He gave credit to God. Is that right? Why, he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Is that right? Now let's just imagine like the Greeks did. They wanted to see who Jesus was. Wanted to see him, rather. So now, let's just look at him that way tonight. When he came in his ministry, he was born in a manger, low birth, common people he came from, perhaps very poorly educated as far as the world was concerned. We find out that's what makes the Bible scholars all confused. They try to read the Greek, the Hebrew, so forth, and they apply a certain word, because they apply to the great words that they used in the high scholarly people, but his real words are spoken just the language like he used on the street. It's common everyday language. So it turns them around with translation. So you see, he wasn't no great scholar as far as the world was concerned. Of course, he was God, but he, just to make himself like some great eloquent speaker, he wasn't. And now, let's see the type of ministry he had. Let's just follow his ministry for a few moments now before we start the prayer line and ask him to continue his ministry. Now, when he's first come into power, we notice a lot of things that God answered his prayer so much for the sick. He started right off first praying for the sick. Is that right? Signs and wonders begin to follow him. And he began to do things that seemed to be strange to the people. Then he had a great gathering until he disagreed with their theology of that day. Then they cut him off right there. Now, in the beginning of his ministry, there was a man by the name of Nathanael got saved. Or Philip, rather. Philip got saved, and he went to get his study right quick. That's a good sign he got saved, wasn't it? When you go tell somebody else about it. He went to find his buddy, so he's hunting for him, and he found him under a tree, praying under a tree. So he said, come see who I found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Why, this nice religious man said, why, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, it was a wicked city. He said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come see. That's the only way to be convinced about anything. Don't you think that's right? I think we had more Nathanaels around New York, if you better, don't you think? Come see. Come find out for yourself. See? Come and see. Don't judge anything. You look at it and examine it with the Word of God. He said, come see. Well, when he came up in the line, I don't know what Jesus, perhaps praying for the sick or whatever he was, he's standing in the congregation. Jesus looked out over the congregation, saw him, or he might have come in the prayer line. I don't know where he was at. But anyhow, when Jesus saw him, he said, behold, an Israelite, in whom there is no guile, as an honest, good believer. So the man kind of astonished him. He said, how did you know me, Rabbi? Or Reverend, whatever you want to call it. How'd you know me? He said, why, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. My, that was quite a something to him. He ran up to him, he said, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What do you think would happen today in New York if such as that taking place? You know what they'd say? Dr. Jones would say, you know what that is? That guy is a fortune teller. It's mental telepathy, that's what it is. Well, they did this. See, Dr. Jones' spirit lived back in that day. Do you know that? The Pharisees, those great scholars and teachers, said the same thing. They said he's Beelzebub, the prince of the fortune tellers. See, of course, fortune tellers are devils, you know that. So he said, he's the prince of the fortune tellers, the prince of the devils. Notice him again. There was one day he was going down to Jericho. Instead of going to Jericho, he went up by the way of Samaria. That's strange, going up this way instead of going straight out of Jericho. But he had a need to go by Samaria. Now, just a minute, we'll find out why he went. What he got up there? He sent all his disciples away into the city to buy some bread. And while they were gone, a woman came out. We in America believe the woman to be a prostitute. And the Eastern teaching is different. But we'll take it over the American Western phase of it tonight. So the woman, she came out to the well. Well, maybe she just didn't get up till around noontime, or maybe she couldn't come with the rest of the other women that's coming to get their water. So anyhow, she came out about 11, 12 o'clock when they had gone to get something to eat. And Jesus was sitting over on a wall somewhere. So he seen the woman put the bucket in the well or the pitcher to draw out the water. He said, bring me a drink. Well, she looked over, it was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. They just racial in that day, just like in the South today, the white and colored. He said, why, it's not customary for you Jews to ask Samaritans such. In other words, where's all the hospitality coming from? Where's all the kindness? You, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, we're supposed to be outcasts. But how you come to ask? Jesus said, but if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. Why, she said, how could you give me a drink? In other words, the well's deep, you have nothing to draw with. And so forth, the conversation went on and on. Now, I have my own opinion what Jesus was doing. He was trying to catch her spirit. And so when he finally did, he said, go get your husband. Come here. She said, I don't have any husband. So that's right. You've had five. The one you have now is not your husband. Now, what's that in New York today? Well, they'd say, you know what? That guy's a good polished-up soothsayer. That's what he is. Well, they thought the same thing then. Said he's Beelzebub. Well, they said, what did she clash it at all? This woman, let her be whatever she was. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, I know the Messiah. Watch, the one we're talking about tonight. I know when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell us these things. But I know that you're a prophet. And she run into the city and said, come see a man that's told me everything he ever done. Isn't this the Christ? He never told her all she did, but he told her one thing, and he could told her more if he wanted to, I guess, if God would have showed him. Now that's the kind of a Jesus he was. He knew where a fish was one time, had some money in his mouth. He knew where two mules was tied, where two ways met. He knew where an upper room was to be provided. He told his disciples. That was Jesus of 1900 years ago, is that right? Well, now, do you believe that Hebrews 13:8 inspired? Do you believe that's the God's word? Well, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Sure, that's right. Now, notice, if he is, then after a while he had to die for the sins of man. But I want you to notice just a little bit, another one scripture, if it won't tarry too much, to listen to this. There's a fool. That man was laying on the pallet, and he said, will thou be made whole? Why not the blind man, the twisted man, the lame, the halt? Never said a word to him. What about the little children? Never said nothing to them. But went over to this man laying on a pallet. Now, if you notice the scripture, Jesus said he knew this man, and he had been in this condition for 38 years. He might have had TB or his retard. It wasn't going to hurt him. It wasn't going to kill him, brothers. But if he could walk, he said, when I'm coming down, someone else steps in ahead of me. He wasn't blind. Neither was he crippled. He just had a disease, an infirmity, something in his body. He had it 38 years. And Jesus knew where he was at. Now, I want you to watch that. He knew the man was there. That's the reason he passed all the rest of it to get to that man. And he said, take up your bed and go to your house. Then he walked away and left all that multitude of people. Was that Jesus 1900 years ago? That's still Jesus today. That's right. Now, what do you think the critics of Jerusalem said? There's that healer. I seen him pass right by all the people screaming and crying. If it ain't God without him, he'd have made them every one whole. Does it that way, does it? But you see, every mortal being on this earth can do nothing in himself. Jesus, now watching when they called this man back in his bed on the Sabbath, the 19th verse, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? St. John 5:19. What he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son. And Jesus, in the words that we know it, Jesus said, well, the only thing I just see a vision, I just act out the, I just dramatize what God tells me to do. Is that right? That's exactly the plain interpretation of it today. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I can do nothing in myself, the Father, I see a vision, what he's doing, then I go do just what he told me to do. That's the reason he passed through Bethesda. That's the reason he found this man here, because Father showed him Bethesda. Look at the resurrection of Lazarus. Look at all the rest of the cases. Just the same. He is possessed with the power, too, that there's a woman one time touched his garment, for she had a lot of faith. She touched his garment. He never felt her because the apostle said everybody was trying to touch him and weaving around over him and putting their arms around him. But a woman touched his garment, stood back out in the crowd. She was satisfied because that's all she wanted to do was touch his garment. And when she touched his garment, she stood out in the audience. Jesus looked around. Said, thy faith has saved thee. Right under the audience. Is that right? Thy faith has saved thee. And she felt then that the blood issues had stopped. A man at the Jericho gate. The road runs quite a distance, I'm told, from the Jericho. A blind beggar sitting over there. He could never hurt him. But he screamed for mercy. His face stopped Jesus when he had his face set towards Calvary. Going up there to people howling and making fun of him and everything else, some cheering. But the face of that beggar stopped him. The face of the weakest, poorest person in here tonight will bring Jesus Christ on the scene. It will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now Jesus said, the things that I do shall you also, even more, for I go. No matter what he did, they still doubted him and tacked him on a cross. That's right. God's plan of doing it. That's the way God knew it would be that way. There's thousands today that would reject it if it was right before them. Millions would reject it. God's already said they would, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and but few there will be that will find it. Is that right? But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Now, if he rose from the dead, what was the first thing he did? And I'm closing. There was a man on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked right out among those men and talked with them all day long, or their journey all the way up to Emmaus. You remember the story? And they said, now his teaching seems he opened up the scriptures in a new way. Why did our hearts burn within us? Because we heard him as he talked to them. And then when they got up to Emmaus, he made life and he'd go on, just an ordinary man. And they said, come in. And when once they got Jesus on the inside with them, he made himself known to them. You get what I mean? Now, if you just let Jesus just get off all your doctrines and things and take what it's the Bible says Jesus was, and let him just lock him up in your house tonight with you, and he'll make himself known to you. How did he do it? A little different from what, just the way he did something, they recognized it had to be Jesus. Is that right? My prayer is tonight that he'll come on the scene here tonight and every night this week and the next week as we say, and do something just a little different each night that you'll recognize it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's with us. May his blessings be upon you, is my prayer, while we pray. Now, Father, we ask you tonight as we're sitting here in a hot building, we're waiting upon you. We're thinking in Jerusalem one time of the little 120 waiting in an upper room for 10 days until suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rush of mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues set upon them like fire. Now, Father, we pray tonight that as we move into this meeting, that we'll hear as David did before going to battle, the rustling of the leaves as the Spirit of God moves on before us. Give us a great meeting tonight. May the Holy Spirit come down in great power. May he heal the sick and the needy tonight. May great signs and wonders be done for the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name, thy dear Son. Amen. All right, now we'll call the prayer line. And let's see. I don't think we got too much room over here. Before we bring them up back this side, don't they? Back around this way? All right. Let's take 1 to 10 and see how we get lined up here. Who's got prayer card number 1? Let's see. Raise up your hand. Everyone has the prayer card number 1. Would you raise up your hand? Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I see if they get started out. You ushers count them as they come through. Where if there's anybody missing, we can get them. All right. 1, 2, 3. Just line up over here to this side, if you will. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. March is about 3 missing. 7, 8, 9, 10. Here they are right here. 10. All right. I think that sometimes if you don't watch it, somebody who can't raise up and somebody maybe who's deaf and he can't hear. So, all right. Usually I have them coming from this side. It's not a superstition, but every time I have ever seen the angel or he appears from this side, All right, that's 10. Now 15. 15, who has prayer card 15? Or meaning prayer card 11. Let's see, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Let them 5 stand up. Let's see if we can, if anybody has to be packed. All right, there's 3 of them. All right, 4. I'm going to ask you something. I have made a ruling in my meeting at first, and we're trying to move out. How many in here believe that I've told them the truth of the gospel tonight? Let's see your hands. And in the prayer line, too. You believe it with all your heart everywhere? You believe it up in the balconies that it's the truth? Are you going to help me in the meeting to pray with me now? This may be our last campaign. We don't know. We don't know just what, but we're going to try everything that we can to help you. And I'll tell you, it's not here for any selfish motive, friend. It's here to help you and to help the sinner to receive Jesus first, the backslider to come back to Christ second. Third, we want you to get well. That's right. The first thing must be first. All right. Billy Paul, is this the patient? Okay. I ever wonder, Reverend, and pray with me. When I start praying for the person, you pray with me. All right, sister. You believe now that the Lord Jesus would make you well with all your heart. You believe whatever I'd ask him, that he would do it. You do. Have you ever been in one of my meetings before? You've been to. You see how he tells things and knows things about people. You understand that. If I didn't even say a word to you, but just pray for you, you believe you'd get well anyhow, don't you? You believe. I believe you would too, sister. Let's bow our heads just a moment. Kind Heavenly Father, I ask you to be merciful to this dear woman, and may she be healed tonight by thy power divine. And may thy mercies be upon her and make her well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this to be. Amen. Now, do you believe it's the back trouble bless you? Oh, it should have been before. All right. Come, lady. You believe with all your heart? For to see you have a garter on your neck. That's to be seen. Of course, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would be here, would make you well? If I... You believe he could tell me about your life if he wanted to? He could. He wouldn't necessarily have to, would he? No, wouldn't have to. So you believe if I just asked prayer for you that you'd get well? Would you come back and testify in the meeting? If you could go home tonight and eat and get over that stomach trouble, you'd feel good about it too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Now you can do that. You just go eat now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless this woman, and may she go and be made well. For your glory, I lay hands upon her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I go eat and come back and tell me what is. Watch your daughter go away. Do you believe with all your heart, sister? Do you believe that the Lord will make you well? Would you be willing to come back here and testify to the glory of God if he'd make you well?
Yes, I can.
God bless you. Come away. Our Heavenly Father, let thy mercies and blessings rest upon the woman. And as she goes from here tonight, may she go rejoicing and happy and made well. As I lay hands upon her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I go rejoicing. That is. She's out of town, but she got healed. All right. Come, lady. You believe with all your heart as you come? You believe that God is here to make you well? You believe we ask him to look at the people out there praying for you? Or around 1,000 people, I guess, is praying for you. You believe that right here now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, that he'd make you well? How many in the audience is leaving this with all their heart now? I'm asking you to come back and testify. Lord Jesus, as I lay hands upon the woman, I ask that she be made completely whole in Jesus Christ's name. Grant it, Lord. Amen. God bless you now. Go rejoicing, be happy. Do you believe also, sister, that you be made well? Of course, your disease is not dreadful. It's not nothing that'll kill you, but it's enough to make you feel bad all the time, stiffen your back and can't get up. But do you believe that God will make you well of this? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll heal the woman, and since she leaves here tonight, may she go happy and rejoicing, made well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, lady. Now go rejoicing and happy. Now, friends, you might say, well, I don't see nothing happening. There's not nothing on here yet that you could see happen. See, it's nothing has come to the platform yet that you could see supernaturally. That's just something that don't show, you see. But the people are getting healed. That's exactly right. Here, for instance, here, a few they might know, come here. Do you believe, sister, with all your heart? With all your heart. If I didn't say one thing to you, you'd believe it anyhow, wouldn't you? You'd believe if I... All right. Come here, let me have your hand. I want you to look at my hand. See? I see how my hand looks. Now, let's see. I want you to put your hand on mine. Now, look at the difference in my hand. See that swelling up there and that little bumps running over? Now, what's the matter? You got stomach trouble. Yeah, ulcerated stomach, isn't that right? Now, do you believe Jesus will heal you?
Yes.
I want you to take your hand off. Take your hand off. Now, look how my hand goes back normal. Now, take this other hand and put on it. Isn't that way, is it? You're just as much human in this hand as you are in that hand, aren't you? I'll put my hand on it. Doesn't bother a bit, does it? Now put this hand here back on here again, Washington. Now see? Now I want you to watch my hand while I pray. And now you believe that I've told you the truth and God will make you well and see what happens to the hand. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, this poor woman standing here is suffering. I ask you to be merciful to her. See her suffer with this demon power that's possessed her and trying to take her over, but thou art here to liberate her. And I ask for her healing. Come out of her, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave the woman. Now, sister, before I open my eyes or anything else, it's left my hand, hasn't it? My hand's back normal again. If it's right, say yes.
Yes.
All right, now you raise your head, all you. Something's happened, hasn't it? Now, a few moments ago, my hand swelled up, get real red. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, watch. I take my hand off. I put this hand over here. Nothing happened. Put this on now. Nothing happened. Something's happened, hasn't it? Your stomach trouble's gone. Go easy. That's fine. You must have faith regardless of whether God says anything or not, you see. If you talk to people, sure, you find out what's wrong with them. That's exactly right. If you talk to people, but the thing you don't give it just about three or four through, and then you're so weak you can't hardly stand it. For instance, just be reverent. Don't move around, please don't, during the meeting. See, you interrupt. Be real reverent. Now look here, sir. You believe me to be God's servant?
Yes, sir.
You believe that this... Now, I want to talk to you just a moment. Now, you just look right straight this way, and I'll look off somewhere else, so they won't think it's mental telepathy. But I want you to look at me this way and believe with all your heart. Did you ever see that picture of the angel of the Lord that they got in the picture? We'll have some of them in a few days.
Yes,
the Lord. You've seen it, have you? Where they take the picture of it down there in Houston, Texas? You realize that something's taking place now, isn't it? That something you feel strange, kind of a feeling of kindness or like love or something other. It's on you now. That's what that is. That's what it is. It's Him. It's your anointing moving to you. That's right. You have stomach trouble also. You have a diabetic condition. I'll tell you something else. You only have a half a kidney. Is that right? But you're healed. Your faith made you well, sir. God bless you, sir. Now I want to ask you something for the audience. We're strangers to one another. We've never seen one another in our lives. But when you come up there, when I started talking to you, then all of a sudden it's like a real sweet feeling come over you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now all at once, all the relief coming is all over. That's when you were healed. Your faith did it, brother. Not me. Your faith in Christ did it. God bless you. All right. Now that's the weakening part. That's what hurts. What's the matter, sister? Sitting there weeping. Got arthritis, don't you have? The little white hat on sitting there. You believe you got eczema broke out on you also. You believe that God makes you well? All right, stand up on your feet and receive your healing. Now your arthritis is gone from you and your faith heals you. You don't have to. That's what we can see that. Just be reverent and pray. All right. You believe with all your heart, lady? You believe? You believe that God sent me here to help you?
Yes.
You got heart trouble, for one thing.
Yes.
And you're real nervous.
Yes.
I see you trying to get up at night. You can't sleep. Just rolling around the bed sleepless.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Go home now. You go to sleep tonight.
Yes.
Jesus Christ makes you well.
Oh.
Have faith. Believe it all. If I just ask God to bless you, heal you, will He do it? Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll bless sister and let her go and be made well for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go now, believe me. All right, come bless you. Can you believe with all your heart? Can you believe I just asked Him that You'll... It's a hard run. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll bless the woman and heal her and make her well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go rejoicing. Are you come? You believe with all your heart? Oh, Lord, I pray that You'll heal sister and may she go from here tonight rejoicing.
happy and made well through Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go rejoicing, being happy. Got all kind of trouble, haven't you? You believe God make you well? God bless you. High blood pressure also. If you believe Him with all your heart, you can be made well. Go home. God bless you. You had stomach trouble, sir, but it's gone from you now. You can go home, eat, and be well, made happy. God bless you. Where it comes from. You believe with all your heart? Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal our sister and may she go from here tonight well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go happy and rejoice and come to oh, my, such a faith building in the audience now. Now, here he is, the moving. The Holy Spirit. There's something wrong with this woman. There's something wrong there in the audience, the same way. It's that man sitting right there. You got something wrong with your eyes, sir. You got a growth on your... on your left shoulder, it's not showing, but that's right. Isn't that right? Raise up to your feet. You got a growth on your left shoulder. If God healed you and this woman had a tumor, just heal her so you can both go and be made well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may this leaving and never come again. Amen. All right, will you come, sister? Have faith, everybody, right now. Come, sister. You believe? Lord Jesus, I pray that you will heal the woman and make her completely whole for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, sister. Do you believe you can walk without that? Do you believe Jesus Christ would put it on your shoulder and walk on across the platform and say, you don't need it. Just take your hand like this, go across the platform and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You believe, sister, with all your heart? In Jesus' name, go and be made whole. See, you just have to get a little start. That's all you have to do. You get your faith moving one time. God will do the rest of it. The whole group of you can do the same thing right now if you believe it. Believe, sir, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you be healed and made whole. Amen. God bless you, brother. Go rejoice. You believe that God will heal you if we'll ask Him? There's something here to know things, isn't that right? You believe it's the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Father, I pray that you'll bless her and heal her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go rejoice now. Be happy. All right. Have faith in God. You believe? With all your heart. With all your soul. Amen. He's real to you. Got arthritis in it.
Yes.
Arthritis in your leg.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's in your right leg, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, in your right leg. You're up for operation, aren't you?
No.
You got a tumor anyhow.
Yes.
A tumor in the womb.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Doctor said so. So you got to be operated on it unless God heals you. Is that right? Yes, ma'am. You spell your name, pronounce it Meka, M-A-K-I?
M-A-K-I.
Uh-huh. Helma's your first, Miss Helma Ameka.
That's right.
And you live at 850 Park Avenue.
That's right.
You go on home, you're going to be made well in the name of the Lord Jesus. You believe with all your heart? How many of you would like to be healed right now and made well? See, you believe that Jesus Christ is here. All right, stand up on your feet a minute. Just a minute. I don't care how crippled